I need more cowbell.
I'll get you more cowbell. That won't be hard. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Desperately in need of more cowbell.
Is it a cowbell or a block? I think it's a block. A wooden block with a drumstick.
Maybe. Welcome to Tuesday, or Wendy, as you refer to this, Wednesday.
Why am I always
You're always off by one day. Sometimes a day ahead, sometimes a day behind, but rarely right on the nose.
Does it happen, Wendy? It's been happening to me in the middle of the week.
That's when I get confused. There's five of them to keep track of.
I'm good. Yeah. Monday and Friday, I can do that with no problem, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Are you being facetious or really? Okay.
I've done promos for the business lunch and I've done the wrong day.
That's worse than me. Just saying it off the air to Bill him bringing it on the air.
I thought everyone should enjoy it. My daughters, for some reason, both intelligent women, still to this day have a hard time getting the months in order. Like if you said really quickly, give me the months, there's only 12 of them, give them to me in order. They're very tentative about it, and that's disturbing to me because you should really, that's one of those things that should always be in your head, the 12 months, not the hardest trick. And they're both, like I said, they're both very intelligent.
They are smart.
But for some reason, that one throws them.
Because they watch The Real Housewives with your wife, that brings them down a few notches.
I think that might have something to do with it. I think that might, just a little bit.
Really? Because that, every kid knows very early on.
Right.
Right?
I think so. Now, the thing I always have a hard time with, and I still do sometimes, is when people are giving you the time and they'll say it's 5:45. In my head, I go, does that mean it's 5:45 or a quarter after 6?
A quarter after would be 4:45. 4:45 means before.
But shouldn't it be said that way then? Shouldn't they say it's 4:45 or 4:45, not 4:45? That's kind of vague.
You know, we've changed, I think, the way we speak about time.
I think you're right, because people just look at their phones. No one needs to even have a clock on the wall.
Well, and it's also, we speak in the digital term, 6:45.
You're right.
Rather than 5:45 like it used to be.
Steve, we're all about the same age. Wendy, quite a bit older than you and I but
so.
It's roughly the same age. Right.
She doesn't look that much
older. No. You look like you're of our generation. So as we were coming up through school, that's when digital clocks started to become popular.
Yeah.
And I still remember there were some kids, because at the beginning of the day in a couple of classes, the teacher would say as a test to see if we could tell time, well, we all know what day it is. What time is it? And then they'd point to one of the kids. They'd go, Stephen Baker, what time is it? And Stephen would have to point out what time it was. But there were some kids, because they were so used to having digital clocks at home, they'd say, well, I don't need to know. I don't have to look at a clock. I like the clocks that tell me what time it is, not the ones where I have to do math.
Right.
You know? Well, I wouldn't throw my kids under the bus like you did with the months of the
year. I know. But
there might have been some remedial clock reading in my house.
Oh,
well, because
was there?
They started on digital, right?
It wasn't a skill they needed, really.
Right. I still love a good clock. I made a clock for my kitchen because I couldn't find one that I loved.
Yeah.
So I made one. I got a clock kit at like Michael's Craft Store.
And you made your own clock.
And I painted the face on it. We've posted it on our Facebook page. Jasmine, I'll send you another picture. I'm pretty proud of my clock I made. Roman numerals. I painted them, hand painted them.
Nice.
And I absolutely love clocks. I wear a watch still.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people, I guess one of my sons wears an Apple Watch, but other than that, he never did, because there's no reason. Do you guys wear a watch?
No, but a lot of men now wear watches that have nothing to do with the time. It's all about the jewelry.
For the fashion
end of it. We were going to a wedding. Jimmy Mack puts on his nice watch, and I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen you wear it in a long time. Does it work? He goes, I have no idea. He just wanted the look of it.
I don't get that at all. I mean, there's people, they'll spend $400 or $500 on a watch. I don't understand. You know, then God bless them. It's their thing. But
keep a battery.
They're fashionable.
In it.
People have like watch boxes. My father-in-law collected watches, and then when he passed away, my mother-in-law gave all of the boys in the family one of his watches. And
do they wear them?
Yeah,
all
they
right,
do.
Well,
my son
cool.
does. You know, when he goes to a special.
That's
thing.
A dress up.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if they look at them for time, but yeah, they wear them.
Oh, Jim didn't even know of his work. That's the funniest thing in the world to me. It didn't.
No,
no.
He just wanted it to look right. There used to be a guy, when Macy's was Marshall Field's, there was a guy in one of the lower levels. Do you know this guy?
The watch guy.
The watch guy. So when you'd go in, I don't know if you noticed this about him either, but when you would talk to him, the watch guy, he had glasses on that just weren't regular glasses. They had a second pair of lenses
magnifying.
On them. So you had regular glasses, and then you had this little, like almost an antenna with a second smaller lens. And whenever he and I would have a conversation, because I'd bring my watch and I'd go, can I get this by Thursday? And he'd go, no, Friday at the absolute. But I'd be so, I couldn't look at him because it was such a scary, jarring thing to see.
He looked like an insect.
Yeah, he was bug-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are magnifiers. Jewelers wear those too sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he is a jeweler.
He is a jeweler.
But yeah, the digital clocks, very exciting. It made it easier to tell time.
Sure.
And we learned, you know, I think we had like a puzzle when we were growing up or something.
With a clock on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, with a clock face.
Oh. And that used to be a toy. Like you could buy a kid
yeah,
a toy clock.
Yeah.
And move.
You'd
I
wind it
as
up.
A kid, yeah. And you'd move the hands back and forth, and then.
Well, we learned how to tell time.
Yeah. But I remember the puzzle. It was wood.
Yeah.
It was a wood
oh,
puzzle.
You had one too.
Yeah, it's very
oh,
cool.
You are. Yes, it was rainbow colors, and then mm-hmm. the center.
The
was,
little red dial thing.
Yes, there was a dial that would move around, and you learned your numbers and the clock. It
yeah.
was really great.
Love yeah. that thing.
They should have had a month one for your daughters.
I would have bought that.
I don't
for
believe
them.
You.
Wendy, I'm telling you, to this day, if you called one of them up right now and said, quickly, I need the 12 months in order, it would be a very slow process.
Is
and
Reese home?
She won't do. She won't come on.
Is Kylie available?
No, Kylie's doing Mike and Mike this morning. Are they still on?
I don't so, have any idea.
The other thing they couldn't do, and this is disturbing to me also, but I guess this one's I guess this is an easier one to understand is, like if you'd say, you give them directions to something, and then you go, you take an east, when you get to Fifth Street, take an east, go east, or go west, or go sort, that they're out. I don't know how to tell that.
The only way I honestly do this is I envision myself wherever I am and think of the lake, because I know that's east.
Right.
Unless I'm in Michigan, then they would change things. But
screwed.
In our area, seriously. And then I envisioned myself in Brookfield Zoo because I worked there for so many years through high school.
Yeah.
So I would be like, okay, am I facing the north gate? Okay, that must be north. So I have like landmarks that I have to envision myself looking at.
I told
I
you
know
about
a kid who used to have to say the Pledge of Allegiance every time he was going to go right or left.
So he knew which hand to hold on.
He put his right hand over his heart. Right.
I told you about Spike Manton. You know Spike Manton,
yes,
right?
Yes, I definitely
right.
do.
A Chicago radio veteran. I used to do stand-up with him. So he and I are both in California at the same time. We were both doing stand-up, and we were both living in California. So we decided one day we're going to go to Magic Mountain Amusement Park. So he picks me up, and we're on our way to Magic Mountain Amusement Park, and we got lost. We couldn't find it. So finally, he sees a sign that says beaches this way, and he goes, well, now we know where we are. That's east. The beach is east. I go, no, the beach isn't east. He goes, yeah, the lake is east. Water's always east.
Oh
and I go,
God.
Water's not always east. We're on the west coast. It's the exact opposite. I don't think so.
Well, because here, the water is east.
I know, but that doesn't apply throughout the world.
I'm meeting Spike for lunch later.
Good luck.
I hope we find each other.
Good luck. All right, your thoughts on this. Oh, look at all the calls. 312-981-7200. We'll get to those next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. This is a very special monthly moment. Not that.
Wendy.
I'm done with that. I'm old.
Wow.
I'm super old. You don't need a clock to tell you, I'm old.
This morning, Bill, when we discussed the topics that might come up today.
That one didn't make the list.
No.
We're shocked and surprised.
Maybe if I'd stayed longer.
Can I tell you really quickly, my wife has texted me to defend our daughters. They switched schools between second grade and third grade, and she said one of the schools taught it in third grade, the other taught it in second grade, so they missed it because they switched schools.
But how old are they now?
Now they're 21. I really think you could take a day out and, you know, work on your months of the year.
Terry, I didn't learn how to type in second or third grade either, but I picked it up.
I love your wife, and I'm glad she's trying to defend your kids because you're a terrible dad
I'm
for throwing them under the bus.
Yeah.
But that's not helping.
Right.
Sorry.
You.
Oh, my God, that was the funniest segment of radio we've ever done.
Great.
I can't believe both your daughters were on giving us the months.
Yeah, they knocked it out of the park, didn't they?
Oh, my God, I'm so glad everybody got to hear that.
You know, it is mean of me to bring it up, but honestly, I'll go, what's after April? And then you'll just see a very confused look, and I'll go, the month, April, what's after it?
I bet you enjoy that, don't you?
I have to count. I mean, I have to go January, February, March, April, May, June, but they can't even run through the whole plethora of months?
No. Not easily. It takes some time.
It's going to be a cold dinner for Bill Leff tonight.
No, it won't. They order out every
right.
night.
It'll be just as hot.
All right, I feel bad, but whatever. You know, we all have a quirky thing.
Oh,
we do.
Without a doubt. Just something that your brain just doesn't grasp.
I still have to, like, if turning left or turning right, I have to think where my wedding ring is, just for a second.
Yeah.
Just for a half a second, maybe. Yeah.
Well, see, there you go. That's the 4th of July, or the 4th of July, Pledge of Allegiance test.
Yeah.
But you do see people, if somebody goes, it's on your right or it's on your left, you see people like just kind of pantomiming that they're signing a document or something and go, yeah,
I write with my right hand. But what will Bill Left do? Because he's ambidextrous.
Right.
Which way's right?
We have problems you'd never understand in a million years, Wendy.
All right. Jim has called us. Good morning, Jim. Did you enjoy the EAS test?
I loved it.
How'd you do?
Not badly, not badly.
Good for you.
When my daughter was in second or third, whenever they're supposed to learn to tell time, it was all digital, so she never learned. Fast forward, she's in eighth grade, and her class is on a field trip. She asked her teacher, what time is it? And her teacher points to the clock. And very flippantly, for which she got in trouble, she said, I didn't ask where's the clock, I asked what time it was.
Bill loves your daughter.
So for Christmas, Santa Claus gave her a kitty clock so she could learn to tell time.
Oh, that was nice.
That's pretty great.
Yes.
Jim wants to, or Bill wants to high five your daughter.
Your daughter's
really
a genius. I love that.
I would have suspended her.
When I finished laughing at her telling this story, I had to be at least a little upset that she said it that way. But
you got to go for the funny. If it makes you laugh, I say you can blow off the other part.
Yep.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jim.
Since we're getting texts from home, Bill.
Yes.
It's been pointed out to me that my kids have trouble with the number month of the year.
So, really?
Well, you have to think of it.
If it says
4 10, is April.
8, 83. You go,
October.
Is that October? Yeah. Yeah.
What's September, Wendy?
9.
See, you got it.
Because it's September 11th? Is that why you remember it?
Because March? It's the 9th month.
March. 3.
3.
Yeah.
January?
1.
Good one.
If you miss that one, there's trouble. Give me a minute. I can get this one.
I didn't do it.
I feel like the best parent here all of a sudden because I don't think there's anything that my kids can't do that is that simple.
Oh.
They cannot do a lot.
Yeah.
But,
don't get me wrong. There's plenty of simple things that I can't do.
I know. But it is. We all have these weird little quirky things.
Yeah.
I got to think of something. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I got to tell you, you are absolutely generational radio.
Oh, that's so nice of you. If you meant it as a compliment, I mean.
Although Bill told me I'm in a different generation, which he is a lying sack, if I may just say that.
You said you look like a different generation.
Right.
Go ahead, John.
Michelle Wolf wrote that for me.
I got to tell you three, four things. Bill, you're cracking me up.
I know. He's cracking himself up if you can see him right now, honestly, John.
That was pretty funny.
Number one, I am a notorious right-left mixer-upper.
You really?
So every time I have to turn left, I'm writing with my right hand in the air, saying, okay, that's my right, I have to turn left. Number two, I collect watches.
I wear
watches all the time. I love watches. I love all different kinds of watches. My kids, on the other hand, every time they graduated from college, they said, I'd like to buy you a nice watch. And they said, I'd rather ask for something else instead, because none of them wear watches, right? The third thing that you said, which was hysterical, was I just forgot what I was going to say. Anyway.
Oh, God, don't you hate when that happens? It's worse when you're on the air and that happens, John.
It does. Well, the last thing is that when I was growing up, we used to go to this restaurant on Michigan Avenue called the 625 Club, and it was a restaurant that was at 625 North Michigan Avenue, and on the walls of this restaurant were these huge wristwatches, Mickey Mouse, psychedelic colors, whatever it might be, and every watch and every clock in the restaurant was set at 625.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So it was watches are something that I've been encompassed with my whole life.
A lot of people are. And they are. They're an art form. There's no doubt about it. They're beautiful. Well, thank you for the call, John. And when you remember what you forgot, call us at home. Just remind us. All right. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
John. 625 Club. I'm looking and I can't.
I think it's long gone.
I just wondered if it was. Did he say it was on North Michigan Avenue?
Yeah. 625 North Michigan.
I want to tell you this, because timing is not my specialty. Fly to the front of the line at LitFest on June 9th. That would be 6-9 mm-hmm. and 10th, 6-10, with a Fest Pass. Get yours before they're gone at printersrowlitfest.org/FestPass.
You know what 6-10 is,
what
right?
is that, Steve?
My mom's birthday.
Oh, it is. Yeah. We'll celebrate it together then at LitFest.
I almost went, never mind. I know she told me that when I was with her last night.
Really?
You were going to say that? I turned into a 12-year-old boy.
Wow. Wow. All right, we'll take a quick break because we need to for so many reasons. And then Steve will give you the news.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's a Tech Tuesday. Even thought I thought it was a wonderful Wednesday, but
no,
it is
not.
No,
no, no. Tomorrow.
We were talking about watches and digital clocks. I always thought a digital clock was ugly. I like the beautiful look of a round clock, but digital, right. You just had, you know, these giant, and I don't like red.
You don't
like
red?
I like the blue LED or whatever
yeah?
it is.
Yeah.
It's more soothing to me.
All right.
Someone has texted us, my 22-year-old son has an old soul. For his 21st birthday, he wanted a pocket watch. He thinks they're real cool.
Oh. Well, those kids are few and far between, so, you know, embrace that.
Does he wear a bow tie, too, I wonder? Because there are kids that want to just
derby
do...
hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, like, when I was in school, I don't think any kid didn't have a watch on, and now you're hard-pressed. I don't think I've worn a watch in 9 or 10 years. It's been a long time. And I used to like wearing them, because you could find them with cool pop culture-y things on them, but... I just don't wear them anymore.
I don't know what started the crazy headshot day that happened on social media over, I think it was Thursday and Friday of last week. Mm-hmm. And I posted one of my first headshots that was taken when I worked at
yes,
the Loop.
Yes, you did.
And my hair was really big. Did you know me when my hair was big?
It was up there. Yeah. Because I remember as I'd drive into the city, I'd see the Hancock Tower first, then I'd see your hair, and I'd go, oh, I'm close. I'm almost there.
Did you rat that hair?
You look like you got electrocuted in that picture.
All right, wow. Whatever. I opened myself
awesome.
Up for this. I don't know. I ratted my hair. I used various layers of hairspray. I got to be honest with you. I like the big hair to this day.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I got it that big because I've tried just for a goof,
yeah.
And it stayed. I don't know how I did it. And then at one point after that picture was taken, which I'm thinking is about 1987, I shaved half of my head on just on one side.
Yeah.
I just liked playing with my hair.
Right.
But the point of this is I had a Swatch watch on in the picture,
yeah.
And people are commenting on that. I loved Swatch watches. They were really cool. They had very modern-looking faces. They were only like $35,
right.
So you could buy a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I loved the Swatch watch. I never saw you in a watch. I used to see you wear a wedding ring.
Yeah, I told you. One of the diamonds fell out, and it's really, really expensive to have it replaced. So I'm going to do
a have it insured?
GoFundMe page.
Oh, my God. If you do, I'm done
I'm
with
not,
you.
I'm not. I don't know. It was just part of the, you know, the funny thing is it becomes so part of your routine. Like, I never remember putting it on or taking it off. It just became automatic. It was on the dresser in the morning, and then all of a sudden, magically, it was on my wrist. But once you make that decision, because at some point I went, all the knowledge I need that I was getting from my watch, I'm getting from my phone.
Right.
Eliminate the middleman.
And Steve Bertrand, go ahead and make fun of my promo shot, my headshot from the 80s. Steve Bertrand posted one as well.
Oh, yeah?
Could your glasses be any bigger?
No,
I mean,
they were
bigger than Harry Carey's.
I know.
You thought you looked good in that picture as I thought I looked good in mine.
No, I never really did think I ever looked good.
Oh, God. Really, get on the couch.
No, I never did. I didn't think that was a good-looking shot. That's the one I had.
Don't you know, though, aren't there periods in your life
I'm
where
serious.
Even though there's some sort of a trend going on fashion-wise...
You look at yourself and go, what was I thinking?
No, just the opposite for me. Like, I remember there were pictures taken that I went, this is going to... So this is like 14-year-old me saying this. Someday I'm going to regret this picture. You know, like,
yeah.
I still remember when leisure suits were a thing, and, like, we'd all go to, my family would go to a wedding or something like that, so my dad would be wearing a leisure suit, I'd be wearing a leisure suit, my brother, and we'd take a family photo, and I remember even as a kid going, In 30 years, we're going to look back at this going, what in the world were we thinking at this point? And I was right.
Because there are pictures. I really have liked playing with my hair and makeup over the years. And years ago, I used to get it really dark highlights and like white blonde highlights. Oh. And I had a 25th reunion at my high school or something. Yeah. And so I found these pictures and I'm looking back and I'm like, oh, my God, I look like Pepe Le Pew. Yeah. What was I thinking? It's like black and white. I just I loved it at the time.
Did anyone try to talk you out of that look, or was everybody
on board?
Yes, in
fact, the girl Liz who colored my hair at the time was like, let me fix that. I'm like, no. Oh, my God, you've done it exactly how I want it. And she would, like, follow me out to my car. Mm. Could just get back in the chair for a minute. Let me just put a toner on that. No,
you wouldn't let
I'm
her.
Loving it.
Hmm.
But it's like I look back at like the headshot that we posted. And what started that, Steve? Do you know? People were, it was it just like old headshot day?
I just saw a couple of friends of mine did it and they had a hashtag to it. And it, so I
was that part of Throwback Thursday?
I don't know.
It was some day because, it started like a week ago, actually. I was late in the game, too. But yeah, it started a while
ago. I didn't
ago.
See yours.
Oh, boy.
They
I
showed,
gotta go find
you know,
it. Gotta I look have, at my hair.
I'm court ordered, Wendy, to watch The View each day when I get home. I watch that on the DVR. And all the girls from The View showed their early headshots, too. And it's really funny to see a 15-year-old Whoopi Goldberg, you know, because you go,
yeah, does
I
it
can
look
tell
like
in a
world.
Yeah.
Did she have eyebrows back then?
She did, as a child, had eyebrows, yes.
There's a picture floating around of you that's like, Jasmine, you could probably find it if you dig back on our Facebook page. It's a headshot of you where your beard is one color and your hair is another color.
Yes. My hair was light blonde and my beard was dark. And I looked just like, do you remember Lamar Hoyt from the White Sox?
Yes.
I looked exactly like Dewey Hoyt.
I think if you search our Facebook page, it's on there. So, I'm sure there are some great headshots of you out there, too.
Do you guys have one in your office that makes me do a double take every time I see it?
From Q101, an early Q101 shot.
Yeah.
There's a picture of me. All right, so keep in mind, I'm 21 or 22 years old, and at some point, my agent at the time thought that I should be reading for soap operas, so I would audition for soap operas. So she said, you need a picture that's reflective of this.
The dual color was totally soap opera.
Oh, everything, I guess, about me at that point was. But the picture is of me.
Yes, it was, Cole.
With my shirt, like, unbuttoned to the middle of my chest.
With hair.
And a tie, yeah. And a tie that had just been undone as though.
What? Oh, I remember that picture.
You've seen that one?
Yeah. Yes. You're fun to look up on the internet.
Somehow the casting agent over at Young and Restless didn't, that wasn't enough to sway them. Isn't that strange?
That is strange. I got to search for that. There are headshots galore. See, that's something too. Once it gets up on the internet, it'll never go
forever.
Away.
Right. Thanks, internet.
That one in your office, you guys look like everything but the girl.
What is that?
A band.
It's a band in the early 90s.
Yeah.
No.
Steve's right. That's exactly what it looks like.
And it wasn't a compliment.
Like we're a cover band for Everything But the Girl. We're not even them. We're just like a band that does their music.
You saw them once in Leeds.
Right. Right. Hey, we could do that.
They were a little contrived. Yeah. I'm not, there are pictures that of us that have been taken that are more random. They're not posed, and they're way better than when we pose.
Absolutely.
I cannot be contained to
No, it steals your soul.
It does.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Bridget Carey will come on. We'll talk to her. We'll find out what's going on for Tech Tuesday. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And it is a Tech Tuesday, so enter Bridget Carey, CNET senior editor. You can find her at CNET.com or on Twitter at Bridget Carey. Bridget, a big Facebook annual conference going on today, and here's a quote from Bridget. I can give you a preview of what to expect from the Zuck.
The Zuck? Why is it the Zuck?
The Zuck. It's just going to be a weird one, I think. Every year Facebook has a presentation on what is new in technology. A year ago this month, we were talking about fake news and how is Facebook going to handle that? Well, I feel like we just like amped it up a couple of notches with Cambridge Analytica scandal. It has not gone away. The trust in Facebook has not gotten any better. And, Mark Zuckerberg tends to make his keynote presentation kind of jovial, tries to crack a few jokes. I don't think we're going to see that tone this year, unless he's going to act like, you know, like somber and then move right along to new technology. But for the most part, this is going to be interesting for folks like me who follow Facebook and see how they're going to handle things, because we're all tired of, you know, trusting this company so much. And it's got to show that we, that why we should care about what's up and what's new now.
Do either of you know people who have stopped using Facebook
yes.
because of this? Because I
yeah.
don't. I just know people that stopped using it because it's not really fun anymore.
Oh.
A little bit of that, Wendy, and people who've cut back. People who just don't feel like they don't have it in their heart anymore to like really share what their family's up to. It's just that they'll use it to maybe scroll and see what's up in the world, but they don't really participate as much.
Bridget, am I imagining this, or wasn't it just a story a day or two ago about somebody who worked at Facebook that was somehow using information from Facebook to stalk people, inside information they were gathering from Facebook? Do you know the story at all?
I don't know that story, but it's kind of creepy how easy it is. People aren't very careful with their privacy settings on how much you can find out about a person.
Right.
If you take a photo, you can get their location, whether it's Facebook or Twitter. You got to like check to turn all those things off because they're always on by default.
Yeah, I don't like that, and it's become more work to go in there and into your settings and change things. So people just leave it alone, and then they're upset with themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to hear a lot of Zuckerberg talk about, well, we really care, and a lot of we're going to use our machine algorithms to make a difference. And I'm like, your AI algorithms haven't done squat lately. Going to throw more tech at the tech problem? Like,
yeah.
That part boggles me.
Their commercials have been interesting though, where they kind of without apologizing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of acting like, we're all in this together to
right.
the next world, that kind of tone. You're going to hear a lot of that, I think, today. All the good it does to be connected to the world, regardless of the trolls and bad. There's a few things that Facebook has been testing lately, and I don't know if he's going to talk about it at this keynote, but I've seen upvoting and downvoting of comments. That's being tested now in Australia and New Zealand. If you're familiar with Reddit, it's like basically pushing up a comment you like and pushing down and burying a comment you don't like. But that can go wrong if people are just upset with the thing being talked about versus something that is actually mean, insulting, or trolling. Then there's also a couple other ideas I've seen. People are posting on my feed right now something where there's a little asterisk or a little exclamation point alert underneath someone's post, and it goes, "Does this post contain hate speech?" And by the way, what I'm looking at is a post of a family photo.
Oh.
If Facebook's computer can't figure out that a happy photo with a baby in it, isn't hate speech, what is going on? Because your AI solutions aren't even there yet, and you're counting on people to do the policing. I wonder if that's now Facebook's, solution. We have all these people. Let the people, vote on whether it's
sure.
good or bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how well that's going to work out either.
Bridget, I just want to point this out. I looked up the story I was referring to. I'll just read you a very brief synopsis. It says, Facebook is currently investigating a claim that an employee used his position to stalk women. On Monday, a member of the information security community said that they passed Facebook details concerning a security engineer allegedly using their work position to stalk women. So that's the genesis of it. Somebody who worked at Facebook at some point was using inside information to stalk women online. No major, horrible, but no major surprise, right?
Makes it way easier to stalk someone when you have access
yeah.
to all that.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar for what Uber went through a little while
yeah.
ago. Employees had access to track people in their cars exactly where they were in a God mode kind of thing, is what programmers call it. This does not look good when you have, government looking at regulation, because they are not regulated right now, and it's all on an honor system, actually, but I don't know if we need protection from some of this stuff.
All right. And I know you have to go right on time today. So let's get into this. I got a lot of alerts, a lot of news stories about the merger of Sprint and T-Mobile. Who's that Tom guy with now?
Oh.
Is he Verizon now?
You mean Paul?
I don't know what
Paul,
I mean.
Paul.
The guy with glasses.
Can you hear me now, guys?
Yes, yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Is he going to go back to the original? Because that's what he should do. What's going on, and what does this mean for us with Sprint and T-Mobile merging?
That was such an awkward commercial. So what it means is that if you're a customer of either, nothing's really going to be changing over the next year. So these two companies made a deal to merge, and it still has to be up for regulatory approval. And their pitch to get approved is that they're going to be creating jobs, not getting rid of jobs, by merging, you know, their collective investment in the next generation of wireless speeds. They call it 5G. You know, they'll be stronger together. But you and I both know that when there's a merger, there's redundancies and people are cut because you don't need two of the same jobs. So we'll see how true that is. But right now, customers, nothing's really changing. It's still the status quo. But if and when it does change, the pitch is that it'll all be T-Mobile. So say bye-bye to Sprint. Everything's going to go under the T-Mobile brand. Yeah, exactly. And that means we'll only have three major wireless carriers. And if you know a little bit about technology, Sprint and T-Mobile use different wired technology, network technology, to make those phone calls and make those text messages. One is on a network called CDMA. That's what Verizon uses, and that's what Sprint uses. The other one, T-Mobile and AT&T, they use something called GSM. And actually, all over the world, a lot in Europe, GSM is the main network that everyone uses. It's why you can't just like put a SIM card in one and have the other one work. But T-Mobile wants to take everyone on that Sprint network, convert it all over to their technology, so Verizon would be the only one left on CDMA. And so that'll be a kind of a big undertaking to kind of switch everyone over to a new technology.
But consumers, as consumers though, Bridget, we want competition. That's better for us, right? Not the other way around.
Right. I think we're in a funny space right now with, you're going to be starting over the next year hearing people go, and if you buy this special phone, you'll have 5G speeds, which will cost you just a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. So it'll still be competition with like 4G, but maybe the 5G will be a premium product that they're going to want to pay more for. It's a race right now between all of them to who has 5G the first and who has a phone that has 5G. Mm-hmm. And I think with us and our prices, yeah, like I mean, they're still going to be competitive with AT&T and Verizon, but how competitive, right? You know?
I don't trust anybody anymore because I've had AT&T forever, and there's a thing now that it's like, oh, you can get these four lines and get your internet free. I know there is small print, which I haven't read, because we pay for the highest available speed of internet now. So the free internet might be like their lowest thing. It always sounds too good to be true, and it usually is.
I mean, having that competition is what really made T-Mobile push us back into some great deals with everyone. I mean, T-Mobile started the whole unlimited back, bringing unlimited back, and really forced the hand of Verizon and AT&T to offer better choices. Now, will they be able to force their hand as much, or, you know, is the game going back to business as usual with less competition, right?
I don't know. I just want cheaper rates.
Not a lot to ask, Wendy. And we don't want Paul to lose his job, Bridget. Don't let that happen, please. But can you hear me now, guys?
I still can't get over how you switch companies like that and then make a deal. I mean, was there like a non-compete that he had? How
Probably
does that work?
Probably for a couple of years, and then as soon as it ended,
And do we care that much which carrier he uses? Did he make that big of an influence on our life?
I don't know.
He drives me nuts, Bridget. We'll follow you on Twitter, at Bridget Carey, and look for you at CNET.com. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, you too.
Bye, Bridget. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Homer? Don't you do a Homer?
No.
You want to so badly. I almost saw it come out.
No.
Come on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I watched The Simpsons. It made history on Sunday night.
Sure did. Congrats to them.
This was, it's the point where this show, The Simpsons, beat Gunsmoke's record as the longest running primetime scripted series. And there was a little opening where Maggie's got a gun and shoots a guy, and it was a little tribute to Gunsmoke. And it was a great episode. I have watched The Simpsons religiously pretty much since its inception on the Tracy Ullman show.
When it was just like a two-minute segment.
Walter Matthau, yes. Yeah. Didn't Homer sound just like Walter Matthau?
By design.
Yeah.
That's what Dan Kesselin was shooting for. He wanted to sound like Walter Matthau.
And thankfully, Homer evolved. But I've been watching it, and there are still some laugh-out-loud moments
in
it. But it's not... it used to be so ahead of its game and cutting edge and bitingly funny and clever, and I'm not noticing it to that extreme anymore.
I've heard several people who write for the show and some of the actors whose voices you hear say that they all came to the realization a few years ago that they've kind of done all the things they can really ever do on a show. They've almost run out of things to do. So I'm not saying they're phoning it in, but at some point you go, wow, we've really been doing this a long time. It still does well enough in the ratings. There's still a lot of people watching it. And it is,
it's
like
still
you said,
good.
It's still very funny. But you're right. It's not as fast as it was in its absolute heyday. But and it's still one of the funniest shows on TV.
This was a sweet little moment where Homer finally finds out about his mother that he didn't know of.
Mm.
And it paints Homer in a...
I think she's been on the show, though, right? Hasn't she? Who they thought was his mother? I think she's appeared on the show a few times. No?
I don't know. Mother Simpson... I guess, yes, 1996. You're right. Mother Simpson, which marked the debut of Glenn Close,
who
played Mona Simpson, first established her relationship with Homer. This one is when she left. I guess she went away, mm-hmm. and Homer was with his father, Grandpa.
Abe Simpson.
Yes. And it was a pretty poignant and emotional. It was pretty touching. It was not your typical Homer.
Yeah.
But it's just this, according to IGN.com, which I don't know what it is, but Jesse Shedden said The Simpsons missed a big opportunity in its record-breaking episode. It just didn't. Wow. It just didn't. And this was a milestone.
Yeah. How many episodes did they say?
That I don't know if
I have.
So
this is the longest scripted series.
636 episodes.
Wow, that's
a lot. The Simpsons' refusal to grow or evolve over the course of 30 years was highlighted in this particular episode. After 636 episodes, why can't The Simpsons take more risks? Jesse,
they've always taken a lot of risks.
This one was not... I'm telling you, lately it just really... doesn't crack me up the way it used to.
All right, so some of that falls on whoever the showrunner is at the time. We've had Dana Gould on the show. Dana ran the show for, I think, 4 seasons or possibly 5 seasons. And he was one of the guys that, when he was running things, things were really fast and furious.
That's
you know?
What I think I'm missing. It's not as fast.
Yeah.
And that is what is so funny, because then, you know, it's on in the reruns and you watch it and you watch episodes you've seen 3 times and mm-hmm. you still find something new that you missed the mm-hmm. last time because it was all rapid fire.
Now, by the same token, if you watch the first few seasons, if you go back and see it when it first started, you're amazed at how slowly paced it is.
Yeah.
You know, because at some point, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 seasons in, they picked up this pace that carried for years, where it was really a joke every 4 or 5 or 6 seconds. I don't know how they did it, but it was. So, yeah, the first season seems slow, and then, like you said, it's a little bit slower now.
And, of course, you know, The Simpsons predicted the future on various occasions.
Oh, many times, including our current president. They were the first ones who called it years ago.
Yes. I have something I want to tell you about our president, too. I can do it now, or did you have other Simpsons talk?
Well, yeah. The other Simpsons story that's been around for a while is the character of Apu, who's been there from the beginning. He's the one who runs the like their 7-Eleven type store. I'm trying to think of when this first started, but it was pointed out that the Simpsons need to do something about him because he is something of a stereotype.
Yes.
Know? So they've kind of treated it a little bit in recent shows, saying that I'm trying to think of where exactly I can start this story. But Lisa's looking at a picture of Apu, and they say that they're going to address the situation soon. They've not fully addressed it yet. Hank Azaria, who plays the character, was on a talk show last week. I saw him on a talk show saying that he understands the concern that this character is something of a stereotype. You know, when the show first started years ago, television was filled with those kind of stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they understand that it's something of a stereotype. They've tried their best to make it, you know, allowable.
Do they get a lot of complaints?
They've gotten enough complaints to where they realize there's people out there that are offended by it, you know? So Hank Azaria said that if he was told you got to stop doing the character, he would step aside. He would go, no, I get it. I'm not here to offend people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened years ago with Barney's character. People kind of came out and said, we've really looked at this and we don't think alcoholism is that funny. And you've got this guy who's drunk all the time.
It's a character in a fictional town.
Well, do you remember then their way of fixing that was he was still hanging out at the bar all the time, but he wasn't drinking anymore.
He stopped. And remember, he became a singer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I didn't like him as much.
So I don't think anyone did. So it's a weird balancing act because you want to remain true to your roots and say, we've built this show with this amazing array of characters, and yeah, some are stereotypes, you know, but they're recognizable stereotypes.
But the Simpsons are, like, in my mind, kind of a combination of the Flintstones and All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
It's like where all these things come together.
Sure.
So Homer having some bigoted views is kind of par for the character.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen anything on there. Now, it's different for me because I'm a white guy living in America.
I know what you mean.
I'm not experiencing the same thing.
Or you're not offended by it.
Right.
Because you're not portrayed in a different light.
Right. But I can definitely see where somebody who is more similar would be more sensitive. You know, I totally get that. And I thought it was great of Hank Azaria to say, I love doing the character, but if they said to me today, hey, you're not doing that anymore, I would understand. I would gladly step aside if that was what I was told to do.
But you can't be mad at Hank Azaria because he's doing what his job...
Well, I don't know if anyone is to blame in this because I've read dissertations where people go, how can the Simpsons and the people behind the Simpsons be so insensitive to this sort of thing in 2018? And I don't know
but it's been like that for 636 episodes.
Right.
Were the complaints just nonstop? Was there a barrage of complaints then?
No.
Well, then.
Right. Right.
And what is it? Has it made its announcement where it's ending?
No. A couple of years ago. Well, this has happened more than once with The Simpsons. They've been kind of close to saying, okay, I think we're going to wrap it up now. But it means too much to the Fox network. It still does really well in the ratings. It's a crown jewel for those guys to have the longest scripted television show in TV history.
That's pretty great.
You're doing something right. And I think the longest show in TV, I think, is 60 minutes, but it's not scripted, of course.
Oh.
It's a news magazine show. So I don't know that it could ever surpass 60 minutes record, I don't think. But to beat Gunsmoke,
that's pretty huge.
That says a lot.
Do you have a cartoon that you watch as regularly as The Simpsons?
No.
I love the regular show. I love that show.
I don't know
it's
what that
stupid.
Is.
It's,
what is that?
Rigby and Mordecai, they are buddies. One is a blue jay and one is a raccoon. And it's just, they work at a golf course. Mark Hamill provides a voice for one of the characters. It's just out there. And I love the regular show.
It's a raccoon and a what?
A blue jay.
A blue jay and a raccoon. Isn't it strange how through the history of cartoons, whoever's behind the scenes always says, let's get two animals that probably
wouldn't
get along in nature and we'll make them pals.
I know. I love that show. I just like the references. It cracks me up.
Yeah.
Where I will watch it by myself, not with the kids. They got me into it. And I like Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
That's but it's very dark and twisted and sometimes it offends me.
Yeah.
And
that's a Chicago guy who came up with that. That's Dan Harmon, I believe.
From Rick
Columbia.
And Morty?
Yeah. I think that's his work.
It offends me, yet, and I'm ashamed of myself, and I'm like, Wendy, what? Wow, that's pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
But it's very dark and twisted. And then I saw something else on TV that I wanted to share with you, because I didn't know if it was real or if it was fake, and I still am not sure, but I did get to the bottom of it. Can I share it with you after this?
Yeah.
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, it's Bill, it's Wendy, it's WGN Radio, 720 a.m. At 12 noon, we are going to go to the stream. You can find us on WGNradio.com and look for bonus stream, or it's on the app. We also have a link on our Facebook page. Watching The Simpsons, and I can't remember what it might have been during The Voice. I don't know what I was watching, Bill. But I saw this commercial that came on that intrigued me and confused me, and I didn't know if this was a parody commercial or what. May I play it for you?
Please.
The wind whispered through the forest. A storm is coming. You cannot defeat the storm. From the trees rose a resounding voice. I fear nothing. I come when the trumpet sounds. I am the storm, the great American grizzly. Introducing the original Trumpy Bear, the fearless, super plush American grizzly. Trumpy Bear was born June 14th, Flag Day. Just find the secret zipper and pull out the flag blanket. Then wrap yourself in the red, white, and blue for comfort and warmth. Show your patriotism and proudly display Trumpy on Flag Day and on any American holiday. Trumpy can even honor your own family heroes.
God bless America and God bless Trumpy Bear.
Trumpy Bear sits proudly at the front of the motorcycle for all the world to see and loves to cruise with his brother.
I'm a former Marine and I'm proud to have Trumpy Bear ride by my side. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Everyone knows Trumpy Bear loves to go to the golf course.
When I ride with Trumpy Bear, he makes my golf game great again. Thank you, Trumpy Bear.
Simply style his trademark hair and place him in his favorite chair. Even the toughest guys will love Trumpy Bear.
When America is great, business is great. When business is great, I'm great. I love you, Trumpy Bear.
I am an Army veteran. I am proud to own the Trumpy Bear, and I will always be proud to be an American.
Order the Super Plus Trumpy Bear for only two payments of $19.95 and receive a special certificate of authenticity. Don't miss out on owning a piece of American history. Order now for only two payments of $19.95. Trumpy, the most fearless bear anywhere. Order now.
Can you believe this?
I can see why you'd be confused as to whether or not it's real or not.
Your face watching this was priceless.
Yeah.
I didn't know. It
so it is. It ends up being real.
It is. It's a stuffed bear with a collar. It's wearing...
like a suit. An almost presidential looking suit. A tie that you'll notice is a little longer than it should be, much like the president.
Exactly. It's the red tie. It is a suit, but the collar looks weird. Like the collar should be inside the suit, actually.
Yeah.
Get it right, Trumpy Bear people. But it has Trumpy Bear hair that you can style as you see fit.
A similar color orange to Donald Trump's.
Okay. I saw this, I think it was reruns of, I don't know.
Like, of what?
God, what was I watching?
But was it a network show?
No.
Do you know that?
No.
That'd be really expensive to buy a primetime ad for this
thing. No, it was on some channel that does like nonstop, God, what was I watching? King of Queens and Everybody Loves Raymond. There's a... I don't know what it was.
Like one of the older channels, the retro-y channels that shows old shows.
I don't know if it was MeTV, but I know it was something. There was some marathon I was watching, and I got to be honest with you, I cannot remember what I was watching because sometimes I just get stuck on something and it's like, oh, this is funny. Yeah. And I saw this Trumpy the Bear and didn't know what to believe, what to expect. I thought it was a joke. And Snopes.com has a fact check on Trumpy the Bear.
It's real.
It is.
Yeah. Two low payments of $19.95.
It's not that much.
A brilliant way of saying this is $40.
A bombastic, this is at Snopes.com, a bombastic over-the-top commercial has left some TV viewers and internet users baffled by the authenticity of Trumpy Bear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 22-inch stuffed animal with a striking resemblance to the 45th president of the United States.
Did you notice the bear has very small paws? Did you notice that?
I didn't. I will look closer.
Yeah, very small.
We have received several inquiries from readers about whether Trumpy Bear is a real product or, as one reader described it, just great satire. Trumpy Bear is real, according to Snopes.
Mm-hmm.
The commercial is real. It's not a spoof, although some moments appear to have been written with tongue firmly in cheek, and the bear itself is a real product available for purchase. But aren't you curious as to, I mean, how is Donald Trump allowing this? He's got to be getting some kind of...
No, you know what happens is once you become the president, you're in kind of like this weird public domain territory. If you go to any like Spencer's gift type shop right now, you'll find all kinds of things with the president's likeness on them that kind of goes unlicensed because it's part of Americana. So you kind of have free will to have at it.
Exceptional Products is a Texas company that markets Trumpy Bear on television, also uses infomercials and television advertising to promote products like Hairdini.
I don't know what Hairdini is.
I think it makes you get a bun in your hair really quickly. Plaque Attack.
I've been looking for something that provides that. That's great.
In October 2017, this commercial for Trumpy the Bear began running on 10 television networks. This is October of 2017, including Animal Planet, the Discovery Channel, and I just noticed it this past weekend.
I'm sure you noticed what I noticed, that they're going out of their way to show how patriotic owning this bear is. Not one, but two members of the United States military are touting the bear. And then there's another woman who's outside at some sort of a, it looks like a convention is about to start or something. I don't know what's going on there.
Snopes asked Exceptional Products about sales of Trumpy Bear, but the company declined to provide any details. Nonetheless, we know people have been buying the toy, in particular as a Christmas present, according to several social media posts.
Yeah.
Exceptional Products owns the trademark on Trumpy Bear, according to U.S. Patent and Trademark Office records, but the concept and design was invented by a V.L. Lang, a company called Real Vision, and that's all we know. But if you want a Trumpy the Bear, two small payments of $19.95.
Yeah, very easy to do.
Can you get a Pensy Bear, too?
They don't have the Pensy Bear.
No?
Okay. No, they don't.
We gotta find. It can't be a bear. It has to be something else. This could be like you mentioned. Mordecai and Rigby are a raccoon and a blue jay. We could have Trumpy Bear, and what would Mike Pence be? What would the animal be? We could start a cartoon. Trumpy Bear and
I want
Pencey dog.
That's not a bad idea. I want to bring back my character from years ago, Barack Obama. Do you think they could do something with him?
I'm sure they would.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim's got the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Kim Gordon. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. How do you
ordered a Trumpy the Bear.
Did you just get one?
Oh, wait, it's not Trumpy the Bear. It's just Trumpy Bear.
Right.
Smokey the Bear.
Right.
But it's not Smokey the Bear. Is it Smokey Easter Bear, the Bunny?
No.
Bill, it's always been Smokey the Bear.
It was for years and years and years, but who's got the time anymore, Wendy?
You've been Billy the Left.
Right. For a long time I was, and then I just dropped the
It's very hard to get used to.
You know
to.
Who taught me how to do that? Bozo Clown. Bozo Clown told me to drop the Nobody needs it. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us. You can text us. We'd be happy to hear from you. What would you do, hypothetically, if you were somewhere, you're just walking around somewhere, and you just saw $100 laying there? What would you do?
I'd pick it up in a flash.
Would it become your $100, or would you try to find the rightful owner?
Where did I find it? On the street?
Let's say, because this is the story that I'm about to tell you, that you were shopping at a Walmart, and all of a sudden you just look over, and there's $100 just laying there.
I would look around first to see if Ashton Kutcher was there, or Kutcher.
Why?
Because I think I'd be getting pranked.
Oh.
Or punked.
Oh.
I don't know. I would look around. I would look around and see. I can tell you right now, I would totally.
For how long would you look around?
I'd just kind of look around the general vicinity, and then I'd kind of roll my cart over it and kind of hold it, you know, cover it. And then I'd bend down and act like I dropped something. I have this all figured out.
It seems like you do.
I'd be like, oh, I dropped my, oh, there it is. And I'd grab the $100 bill. I'd shove it in my purse. And then I would kind of stay in that vicinity for a while.
For how long a while?
Maybe about 5 to 8 minutes. I would stay there and kind of just scope out the scene and see if anyone is in a panic and is looking like, oh my God, where is it? Oh my, you know, then I'd go, are you looking for something?
How much?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How much is it worth to you?
God, I have this completely planned out.
You really do. I'm surprised you do.
Even to the putting my cart over it.
Wow. I'm shocked you didn't tell me what you were wearing during this. You really have it all planned out.
Well, that's what would you do?
Similar to yours. I don't know all the great detail like you know, but I would sit, you know, for a little bit of time, I would hang out to see if somebody looked distressed, like, oh, no. I had this money that I was going to, you know, buy grandma's birthday present with, and it's gone, you know. But after a while, I don't, you know, the thing they always tell you to do is you go to somebody like an official, like I mentioned Target, or I'm sorry, Walmart, because this story I'm about to tell you takes place in a Walmart. But I'd be afraid the whole time if I gave it to the employee, not to besmirch the good people who work at Walmart. Besmirch them. What did I say?
Desmirch.
Desmirch them. No, I said besmirch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's no such thing as a desmirch.
You would not.
I wouldn't trust them enough to. Then I go, well, that guy's walking away with $100 now. He's
because they
gonna...
just put it in their tip jar. Do Walmart cashiers have tip jars?
They all have a tip jar.
If I see one more tip jar, like just a grody looking plastic cup,
put one out in front of the studio and see if we get anything in tips.
No, we should pay them.
An 8-year-old boy in Louisiana already knows the importance of integrity. Jaron Johnson was walking in a Walmart store in Pineville, that's in Louisiana.
I'm walking.
Yes,
in
indeed.
Pineville,
yes,
I'm
indeed.
Talking.
When he spotted a $100 bill on the floor. That's good money. When you're a kid, when you're an 8-year-old kid,
that's everything.
That's like $106 to you and me. That's a lot of money. He was a few steps behind me and he said, "Mom, look what I have in my pocket." And he said, "Can we turn it into Walmart and give it to the rightful owner?" This according to Jody Johnson, who is Jared's mom.
Of course she's saying that.
What? You don't think that's what happened?
No, the kid wanted to keep it.
This kid seems way too honest. Johnson said she was nervous about turning the money into employees, like I just said. And not just because it's Walmart. I would, anywhere I went, I'd go, if I give this to the person who works here, they're going to wait 30 seconds and go, "Well, nobody's claiming it. It's mine. I got it now." Because she realized anyone could just pocket the cash. So she told Jaron that they would sleep on it.
On the money?
Interesting. Yeah.
Under their mattress?
Yeah. Like Princess and the Pea.
Yeah.
They're big fans. It says here, they're both big fans of Princess and the Pea. But she was proud of her son for wanting to do the right thing. The next morning, as soon as we woke up, he asked if I called Walmart. So we called Walmart and said, "Has anyone called in reporting that they lost something?" Again, according to his mom, Jody Johnson. Johnson said she didn't mention it, but it gave the employees her number just in case somebody called. Later that day, she received a call from an 86-year-old man, James Greasus, and his daughter. She said her father had lost the bill while he was shopping and hadn't had enough money to pay for his groceries that day.
Oh,
it gets sad, doesn't it? She told me that her father said he left it to the Lord, Johnson said. I told her I wanted to meet them in person so my son could give it back. It was a huge lesson for my son. I bet it was. That's a valuable lesson. Here's a guy who needed money. The pair met last weekend. And Johnson said it made her grateful that Grace was so appreciative. He lives on a fixed income, so a lost $100 makes a huge difference. To reward Jaron, Grace gave the 8-year-old boy $20.
That's pretty good.
That's fair, right? It's not 100.
He doesn't deserve
100. Give him
100. He can't, because then if you give him 100, you're still out.
Right. Yeah. I think $20 was a nice compromise, don't you? Jaron's got a big heart. Oh, I didn't know that. That's sad.
But a small wallet now.
Yeah. His heart weighs way more than his wallet right now. He has a passion for others. He has always shown his integrity and his heart for others. Don't you? I can't speak for everybody, but whenever I find money, it's much cooler than earned money. And I know that goes against the grain. You should go, no, you earn your money. That's how you get your money, is you earn your money. But I can almost always remember, like, you know, did you ever put on a coat that you wear during the winter and then you just put the coat in your closet and you don't wear it again for 6 months and all of a sudden you put it on and you reach inside and you go, hey, $15. That's like the best $15 in the world, you know?
You know what happens to me? I have nice coats that I put on, and when I stick my hand in the pocket, I don't find money. I find a mass card of someone who's died. Because it's like, oh, this is my funeral coat.
Right. That's not as good as finding
money. No, I'd rather find the 20.
The first year my wife and I went to Florida together, we were out of money. We just ran out of money. We didn't budget it properly. In the last 2 days, we didn't have any money left.
You don't have credit cards?
We have it, but I don't know. I'm always reluctant to use it because then they want that money eventually, Wendy.
Well,
you know how they are.
That's how it works.
Those
Phil.
Monsters at Visa. So the last night we were there, we're walking on the beach and there was just $20 in the sand. And that was like the greatest thing in the world. I mean, you can't buy
$20. Yeah, $20 for how many days did you have left?
One. We were leaving the next morning. but it bought some ice cream. That's all I want.
What are you, in a new episode of Oliver?
I'm a man of simple means. I'm not asking for $1,000, just $20. That was nice.
Please, sir.
I should have asked for more. I should have.
Could I have some more?
I should have got one of those beach things that old guys always have in Florida that...
Oh, the metal detectors?
Yeah. I should have scoured the beach with that. Hey, if there's $20 this high up, think about how much money is buried underneath.
Is that Chicago Radio's Bill left yeah. with a metal detector?
How sad.
Boy, he needs a new agent.
Oh, he has fallen. It's awful. But congratulations to this kid. In a day
it's a
and
nice
age
kid.
Where you say all people care about is themselves, this 8-year-old kid proved otherwise. He found $100 and said, I will not rest until it finds its rightful owner. That's admirable, isn't it?
I wouldn't have done that.
No. Nope. All right, we'll take a quick break and then there's more. Oh, look at all the calls. 312-981-7200. Stay right there. We'll get to you in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And our condolences to David Hochberg, who just lost his mother.
Yeah, very sad.
It is very sad.
He's a nice
so
man.
We're thinking of you.
All right, we just told you the story of Jaron Johnson. He's an 8-year-old boy who lives in Louisiana. He and his mom are shopping in a Walmart, and the young boy finds a $100 bill laying on the floor. He then vows to not rest until the owner is found, and he did find him. It's an 86-year-old man named James Greasus, very, very happy to get his $100 back. Wendy, you said...
Greasus? I don't have any butter.
You said that you probably...
I'm sorry, is it Friday yet?
You had a story that you probably wouldn't do the same thing.
No, I would have looked around. Did they see somebody panicking, though?
No.
I'm sorry, that's where I
they
get
did
confused.
Not. The next day, they called Walmart the next day, and they said that a man had called saying, you know, he lost his money that he was using
I would have
for
turned
food.
It in, and I would yeah? have called Walmart the
all
next
right.
day.
That's nice of
that's
you.
Something to file away, because I have it all figured out where I'd roll my card over the money.
Yeah, you had a whole story yeah. that even Ken Burns texted in, wow, this is very long.
But now I know that I would call Walmart the next day and say, did anyone call about yeah. losing some cash? How much was it?
Right.
As you pointed out off the air, Glenn has a cute money-finding story, and we'd like to hear it.
Hi, Glenn.
Oh, hi, how you doing? I had a real smart older brother when I was younger. We're coming out of a restaurant, and my parents raised us to be real honest. They're Italian immigrants, Catholic, real honest family. So we're coming out of the restaurant. My brother finds a bill laying on the sidewalk, and he shouts out loud, who lost a $10 bill? And I was really surprised. Three people in the crowd raised their hands. Three people. My brother, being a little smarter, said, sorry, it's only a $5, and he put it in his pocket.
Ah, good move. Very good move.
Yeah, so I remember that. But yeah.
The only part of that story that surprises me is that only three people claim to have lost the $10.
Yes. But, Bill, I agree with you that... found money is the best money.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Thank you, Glenn. Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
It should be earned money, because you say, I just put in some time. I earned this money. But found money is the best.
So is free food. Doesn't free food always yeah. taste better?
Yeah.
I mean, be honest.
Yeah.
Dave has a story. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Wendy, Bill. You guys are the absolute best on the radio.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you.
Thanks.
10 years ago, I was a courier for FedEx. I pulled up to a bank in a town that I was delivering to, and I saw a pile of money laying on the sidewalk leading to the bank. I scooped it up, and it was I stopped and counted it. It was 15 $100 bills.
Whoa.
And I went into the bank, and I delivered there quite a bit, and I asked the couriers, I said, who came in before me? And they said the young man had walked in, and he's in there with his loan manager. So I went in, I introduced myself, and I said, did you happen to lose anything? And he looks at me kind of funny, and he opens up his carrying case, and he kind of gasped, and he said, I had my cash in here. And I said, did it look like this? And I showed the money. And he fell back in his chair, sat down, and he said, my God. He said, if I had lost that, he had a small construction company, and if he had lost that, he was making a deposit, and he would have gone out of business. Blah, blah. So anyway, I gave him the money back, went back to the station. The bank manager found out what happened, called my manager, and told the station what I had done.
Yeah.
So the next morning, he tells everybody what I did. And easily 10 people, there's about 15 there, easily 10 people came up and told me I was a flaming idiot for giving that money.
I mean, that's life or death. That's when you find an amount that's that large, that could be someone's mortgage. That could be that. That's an important thing.
Yes,
you did a great job.
I was shocked, Wendy. People that I thought I knew, that I had worked with for years, said, "You're crazy."
That's horrible.
It is horrible. And to this day, you know, I just am still shocked at the way people are. But, you know, there's a lot of good, and then you think you know people.
Right. That's so true. Well, thank you for what? Wow. Crazy story, Dave.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening.
What's the movie where somebody finds a bet? It's mafia money. Somebody finds some suitcase or something with a bunch of mafia money in it. So that becomes like a big storyline is, do I even spend this money or will the mafia come and look for the money? I always think that, like, if I ever see something, I always go, if that's mafia money, I got to give it back. I don't want the mafia mad at me.
Well, they don't mark it like with an M.
Yeah, it says
show
mafia
you.
Money on it.
It does not.
They write it on there.
Nora's calling us, 312-981-7200. Hey, Nora.
Hi. This was years and years ago. I was working in a mall, and I was walking back from the food court, saw money on the ground, swooped it up, and I went to, I don't know if they have them anymore, information desks, and I just said, did anybody lose a sum of money? And I waited my half hour break, and if nobody comes up, then it's mine.
Now, did you tell them the amount?
No, I said a sum of money.
Good. And what if they had said, this is hypothetical, but what if they had said, leave the money with us, and at the end of a half an hour, an hour, we'll get it back to you. Would you have left it with them?
I'd say, does it say stupid?
Good. That's the right way to handle
it. I'm one of 11 kids, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's every man for himself.
So, Nora, nobody ended up claiming it. That money became yours eventually, right?
Yeah, like in a half hour.
Yeah, very nice. Are you still living off that money?
No, it was only $20.
That's not enough to live off of. Well, that's great. I'm glad it
probably
ended up in your hands.
Kids didn't put it in a wallet. They just shoved it in their pocket.
Yeah.
That's what happened. They learned a lesson.
Do we know how much it was?
Did 20.
You? Oh, 20.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Well, thanks, Nora.
Thank you.
Well, it was worth it to me.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just thinking $1,500, that's a lot, but... That's, again, I get excited for finding that much, but then the more people lose, the more important it is to them, you know?
Right. That you have to return, but $20 on the mall floor?
Right.
Bonus.
Finders keepers.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you for calling, Nora.
Okay, bye.
Don't you kind of operate on a law of averages where you go, if I find money and don't turn it in or try to find the rightful owner, at some point I'm also going to lose the money.
It's called karma.
Yeah.
I always think of that.
Yeah.
Mafia money smells like olive oil.
Is that true? I did not say
that. 219
That's
says
interesting.
That.
I didn't know that.
Ralph Cramden found mafia money. Who is the richest guy in the neighborhood? I don't know.
Hmm.
There's that turnaround story that somebody has texted to us. And the best text of the day, Bill, the money you found was earned money, you big dummy. You just didn't earn it.
Right. Somebody did earn it, but it was not me. Correct.
Right. And that's it means so more.
Right.
Somebody said that they found money and they returned it. They found a business card in there and they returned the money. And then the guy, a 50-60-year-old guy, was so thankful that the money was returned. This person who returned it then went on and lost these important concert tickets.
Oh, no.
And he said that somebody, he or she said, here we go, I had lost expensive concert tickets that was in my wallet. The person that found my wallet returned it back with everything inside, cash and concert tickets. I guess what goes around comes
around.
Yeah,
right.
So that's karma. That's what keeps
balance.
You on the path.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. If you like what you've heard so far, just wait. The bonus hour is coming. We'd love to have you, or stay here and listen to Steve Bertrand's Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.